This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young in association with John and Gordy Productions, Civic Media, and your Uncle Steve. Side effects may include nausea, uncontrollable laughter, and the desire to throw your radio into Lake Mendota. Now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning. We made it back in.
Yep.
Completing the week.
It's Friday.
We've
hey.
Got so many stories to get to, and why don't we go to the phone lines first? We have Joe on the line. Joe, what have you got for us this morning?
Hey, guys. Great to hear your show, as always. I wanted to add, one of your callers had mentioned The Mouse That Roared is one of a cinema adventure into a country of being occupied by someone else, and that's in the comedy realm. If people are looking for another really great series, it's called Occupy. You can stream it on Amazon Prime. It runs for 3 seasons, and the premise is that the Russians occupy the country of Norway for a set of reasons that are spelled out in the series. But it's just brilliant, really well done, and really captures this sense of, okay, now what happens when this big dude comes into your country and says, okay, we're taking over. Really great stuff, 3 seasons long, couldn't recommend it enough. So again, the series is called Occupied, and you can find it streaming on Amazon Prime, I know. So other places possibly too. And just to let people know, it's premised on a story idea from the mystery writer. His name is Joe. It reads as Joe Nesbo, but apparently it's pronounced Yo Nesbo. So it's got this great mystery feel for it underneath. So there you go.
All right.
A little something for the weekend.
Excellent.
Take care.
Thanks for the viewing.
Thanks for that recommendation.
Yeah. Love it.
We're talking about, you know, the U.S. taking over Canada and
Yeah, and we never even got to Denmark.
I mean, Denmark.
the threat that Denmark and, of course, Greenland. I mean, this is insanity, but it's really happening, and I think he's, you know, doubling down on it. When he's challenged like this, he doubles down every time.
Yeah.
So why don't we get to a more local feel here?
Yeah, and, more local takeovers,
Kugels,
too.
Yeah, a big threat for Leinenkugel's up in Chippewa Falls. You know, they're moving the brewing operation to Milwaukee. He's still staying in the state. But, I mean, Leinenkugel's up there in Chippewa Falls is a destination for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have James Kelly with us, who is up in Chippewa Falls. And, James, welcome to the John and Gordy Show. Good to have you with us. So, this is happening just about 5 blocks away from your location, right?
Yeah, just up the street here.
The station hangout, place to let go. You know?
Right.
So tell us, what's the situation so far?
Yeah, what's the latest?
Yeah, so today is actually the day that the brewery will be closing. This is the final day. 56 employees are going to be laid off. The Liney Lodge, which is kind of the more popular tourist gathering area where they have the gift shop and their actual bar, that will remain open, and they're going to continue to do tours of the actual facility itself.
Okay.
But obviously it's not quite the same as if it's still in production. And, you know, this is a fixture in Chippewa Falls that's been here for over 150 years. The family still is incredibly involved with the day-to-day management of the company, or at least were until this point now. It's a tough day here. And I think the best way that I can describe how people are feeling is just when I got here about a year and a half ago, I was already a huge fan of Leinenkugel's. Even I'm from New York. We had summer shandies out there too, and it was my favorite. And, you know, I took a job in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, thinking, well, what am I going to do? Like, where do I go to meet people and, you know, just enjoy life? And it's like, oh, the maker of my favorite drink is right here.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was a strike going on with the brewery workers that lasted for about 7 weeks. So when I showed up here in Chippewa Falls right before the strike ended a couple weeks earlier, There were no bars in town where I could go and get a Line and Kugel's drink because the community had boycotted the drink as a send a message effort. Say, we're with the union workers on this one. We want them.
Yeah. I like the summer shandy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Very, very, very refreshing stuff. So, the thing here is that it is a brewery, and what they want to do is they want to continue to brew beer there, and still be allowed to make a profit and do their own thing, basically separate from the major company, from Coors, right? But Coors would still be the owner of the property, right? Is that the situation?
They've owned the company since 1988. Line and Kugel's. And to this point, before the closing of the brewery, they were only brewing about 25% of the Line and Kugel products actually here in Chippewa Falls. And now that's just being centralized in Milwaukee. But you know, it's a historic site for people in Chippewa Falls. It's the biggest tourist attraction in the area by far. You know, it's got a lot of people here bummed out.
Yeah.
So Jake and Dick Line and Kugel, I mean, they've made an offer. I mean, they're still talking to Coors. Is that right? I mean, is there kind of a Hail Mary offer, to keep the operation going?
Yeah. So on Wednesday, they released a statement, the Line and Kugel brothers, that, earlier in January, they asked Molson Coors to enter into a non-disclosure agreement to talk about potential terms that would keep the brewery open and you know, keep the family involved in the company. And Molson Coors, a couple weeks later, decided they were not interested in entering that NDA. So they tried again and said, well, we'll have this discussion out in public if you want to. But like, this is important to us. It's important to the 56 workers that are going to be losing their jobs at this brewery. And to this point, Molson Coors CEO has said, this is an important brand for us.
Right.
We're very committed to the brand. So it seems like that's not something that's down the pipeline currently.
Yeah. But would it run independently? Then Molson Coors wouldn't really, I mean, they'd be the owner, but they would allow this brewery to operate independently, its own bottom line, its own finances, right? Its own employment. Is that basically it?
You could keep in place the agreement they've had where you're producing a certain amount of this product here, but you technically don't own it.
Yeah.
You have input on the brand, but again, you technically don't own it, but the brewery remains operational. It just seems like Molson Coors really wants to centralize production and cut costs there. And that's how it's going to be for now.
So what they want to do is they want to stop the brewing there, but everything else stays in place. The gift shop.
And their pilot brewery there will remain opened as well.
Oh, the pilot brewery?
Yeah.
Oh, well, now what's the story on that?
It's mostly just for innovation.
Yeah.
You know, try some new things out, see if we can find something that sticks.
And have it on tap.
That's going to continue operation.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not horrible, I guess.
Okay. Something.
But yeah. All right. Well, good luck up there. I know it's you know, it's a mainstay. People go there. I mean, it's a tourist attraction. The thing to do, we hope the best, you know, takes place. And they allow this to continue, I think. It's a tradition here in Wisconsin. I think, you know, corporations have some kind of responsibility to the community that they've nurtured for so damn long. I mean, there's something to that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially one of the oldest breweries in the country.
Yeah.
Well, James, we appreciate your report. James, by the way, is our news bureau chief up there at Chippewa Falls at Civic Media's WCFW, the TAP, right?
Yep.
Well, we hope we can get
that tap
going. Find Line and Kugel's going through that.
How long you had that one in the back pocket?
There you go. We've been waiting for that.
I'm sure you haven't heard that before either. So,
James, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck. We hope Line and Kugel's can continue up there as an operating brewery. So, at least
thanks,
in
guys.
Some form.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right, James Kelly.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. Our weather for today, by the way.
Yes.
Nice. Going to be really nice all day long. 29 degrees currently. Highs today about 44. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can sleep better. You can dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. Be sure to ask about their lifetime guarantee on their mattresses.
All right. You know, we were talking about, you know, taking over Canada and destroying their economy.
Right. That's on the list of things to talk about.
It's always good to be a good neighbor. Wow.
Yeah.
This is... what was the point to all of this? This is just why would we do this to our friends?
Because Donald Trump wants to keep the spotlight no matter what. Just say outrageous crap and just whatever he goes with, everybody follows along. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it gets everybody's attention and, you know, takes the attention off of the hearings that are going on for his cabinet choices.
Well, Denmark is feeling threatened by the U.S. tariffs as well. So let's get into that really quick here. Donald Trump, and I have typed this out. I don't like reading this stuff, but this is a more complicated situation. Trump did not back down from threats during a conversation with Danish Prime Minister Frederiksen. According to Frederiksen, Trump reiterated the possibility of imposing tariffs if Denmark does not give up Greenland. It just takes your breath away, doesn't it? What in the hell? The prime minister said, the U.S. side suggested that, unfortunately, there might be a situation where we collaborate less with Americans in the economic sphere. We are in a serious situation, Frederiksen stated. Russia and China couldn't be happier to see the U.S. fighting like this. You know, I mean, we're fighting with our allies. We're not fighting against Russia or China at this point. Our allies.
Yeah.
Some Twitter responses here I thought were classic. Trump declaring his Make Imperialism Great Again mandate, essentially normalizing more Putin and Xi aggression in the world and proclaiming I can play with the big boy dictators too, just watch me, and threatening Denmark with tariffs that will increase prices for American consumers on everything from Ozempic to Carlsberg beer to IKEA furniture. And then here's another response. Putin's number one goal is decoupling America from NATO. Trump hasn't even taken office, and he's already doing Putin's bidding by threatening NATO allies with economic sanctions if they don't surrender territory. And here's another response. The U.S. has an air base in Greenland and has had that for over 70 years.
Not a lot of people up there, but
I find it unimaginable that Denmark is going to allow America to keep that base, given they're making threats against Greenland, and the base could be used as a staging point for any military aggression. I think it's high time the base shut down. Those are some of the responses in response to declaring war on Denmark.
Well, I saw some report a couple of days ago, I might have mentioned this before, that they think there's going to be a summit between China and Russia and the U.S., and everybody will get
something.
Yeah, start
dividing up countries.
Yeah, just China will take Taiwan,
we'll take it all,
and Russia will take Ukraine, and we'll get whatever we want.
Keep in mind, he's
coming
the peacetime president.
Yes, coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Now, there's some Northwoods music.
Mm-hmm.
92.7 WMDX, Twin Peaks, John and Gordy in the morning, and it's time once again to talk to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot.
Morning, Brittany.
As a major media company is letting go all its meteorologists in Wisconsin. This is from Paul Pittis, former anchor at WKOW. He posted this today. The unthinkable Allen Media, which owns WKOW and sister stations in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, decided to get rid of all their meteorologists company-wide, and they will now let the Weather Channel provide weather services, which Allen also owns. How nice.
How convenient.
Yes. God. Get rid of the local people?
Yeah.
How are they going to cover what's going on?
I don't know.
Like tornadoes and bad weather. Yeah,
local weather events.
Right.
Yeah.
And how are,
oh, that is terrifying.
Yeah,
microclimates in Wisconsin in itself that the meteorologists here understand it. When you're not living here, you don't see those little things that we're all picking up on. This is a huge mistake, I think, personally.
Yeah. Wow.
My heart goes out to all those meteorologists because it's tough. It's tough these days.
It is.
Research is coming back that people are using these weather apps. Stop doing that.
Well, that's the trend. Yeah. Everybody's got a weather app on their phone.
But, the weather apps are nothing. I don't go to the weather app when we've got bad weather in the area. I go to the local TV stations for that.
Yeah. Weather breaks out, you want somebody local telling you what's going on.
Especially, the people that have been here for so long. I mean, even some guys come out of retirement to help out on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
They do.
Yeah. So it's
Lindmeier.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing to realize that these individuals won't be here, broadcasting from outside as the snow is falling on them or on the side of a street someplace saying, look how slippery it is.
Yeah.
All the
they'll still send the local reporters.
The theatrics, yeah.
All right, Brittany.
I used to beg to be outside. I was like, listen, guys, put me outside. But I'm a weird one. I understand that. Yeah.
Well, like doing that, right?
The evolution was that you just had weather people, and then they were required to become meteorologists, right? Yeah. And now they're getting rid of them. That's not progression. That's not happening.
No.
All right. Well, what's going on for us weather-wise? Yeah. We still have a meteorologist here.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and it's going to be a warm one today, right?
Yes, it is. We're going to get a nice slice of warmth throughout the afternoon right ahead of that cold front that is obviously going to be crashing our temperatures. So highs today slicing to about 42 degrees.
Wow.
It's going to feel pretty decent this afternoon, but those winds are still breezy. They're whipping up to 30 miles per hour. So it really feels like 20 degrees outside this morning. But otherwise, the cold front moves through late this afternoon through the evening. A few flurries could fly around with it, but nothing major. Mm-hmm. And on the backside of that, we are crashing cold. Highs tomorrow of 17 degrees plus. Winds on top of that are going to feel more like zero. So we fall below zero tomorrow night. We hold into the single digits for the rest of the weekend. I mean, I'm talking highs of about 3 degrees on Monday. Yeah, we're not warming up at all
until
Wednesday.
Well, thanks a lot, Brittany. You're fired.
No. That's what it was. They're tired of hearing all the bad news.
Yeah.
So do we have any kind of chance of some snow as this system comes in or no?
Nah, not really, honestly. Yeah, okay. Just a few flurries. The heavier accumulations are definitely further south into Illinois.
All right.
Boy, all the skiers are disappointed, the snowmobilers.
I
mean, I guess the only people that are happy are the ice fishermen as far as outdoor sports.
That's right. And Brittany is an ice fisher person, right? Yeah.
I am. I do enjoy it. It's my favorite type of fishing because there's no bugs out there.
That's
what
right.
What else
the
are you
going
to do when it's this cold?
She brings
you don't like
the bugs
again. You have a thing about bugs.
You and I.
I do.
I'll do anything if it doesn't include bugs.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know what we do have going on this weekend, though, that's really cool? Speaking of ice, it's not just fishing on it. We are doing some drag races.
What?
Literally cars racing on the frozen lake up here in Merrill.
It's the Merrill Ice Drags.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know all about this?
I haven't been to it, but I know all about it, yeah.
The ice drags? Wow. Yep.
Yeah, you get a bunch of cars with spiked tires out on the lake, and then you just race them.
It's more fun without the spikes. I didn't even know they made spike tires anymore.
Wow.
All right. Well, that sounds really
great weather for
fun,
that, I guess.
I guess.
All right.
Don't break through the ice.
All right, Brittany. Thank you.
Well, by the way, Brittany, you posted a picture of yourself outside. Was that a real picture or green screened?
That was a beautiful chroma key green screen. I used to go outside in dresses often. That one, no, was not.
we'll look good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Well, have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Thank you. That's Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist.
Yeah. Okay. Emphasize that,
yes.
If you can.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of out-of-work weather people in Wisconsin looking for work elsewhere.
Well, speaking of weather, let's talk about the California fires, okay?
This
is Cut 81. I think we have time for this. Representative Claudia Tenney says there should be conditions on federal disaster relief to Marxist regimes like the one in California. Let's listen to that.
just giving money away. Shouldn't we insist on some changes in the policies of California? Start with you, Claudia.
Absolutely. Look at my state. We should be doing the same thing with the state of New York with the absurd, catastrophic policies they've put in place. You know, California is a disaster. Those same people weren't concerned about the people in North Carolina or the people in Florida who we've tried to help. So these, it's really important, though, and they caused this problem. We have the same problem in New York, Larry, by the way. We are cleaning out the thatch. We are not taking care of our forests the way they should be managed, where we're in the human environment. And they may have the same problem routinely in California. These people were obstructionists. They also, by the way, tried to cap insurance under I think it was Proposition 103. Guess what that did? It chased insurers out of the state, so many of these people don't even have fire insurance. We have to have a competitive marketplace. We have to get back to a merit-based system. We have to get back to free markets. None of that is happening in states like California and New York. We have Marxist regimes and people that are interested
in just giving money away. Shouldn't we insist?
The crazy part of this is that they want clear cutting, right? They want to take all the trees and cut them right down to the ground and create a lot of sunlight in the area so these new trees can come up. And, you know, the thing here is that in Florida, they never seem to criticize Florida for not taking care of the hurricanes and the rainstorms that accompany it.
Flooding.
They don't stop that. You know, for some reason, it's the policies, I think, in Florida that are creating the disasters that they are ending up with and the high insurance rates.
Yeah. On it goes. And on we go, right around the corner. Jimmy Kay is in for Rocker with a Max Inc. preview. It's coming up next on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the Morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Kenny. 92.7. WMDX. Okay. John and Gordy in the Morning, Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. We're noting the passage of David Lynch yesterday.
We are.
Twin Peaks. A lot of great movies, too. Right?
Well, I wouldn't call them great. I thought they were really, really...
Different.
Different. Not good.
Mulholland Drive?
Kind of slow. Oh, no, yeah. Some of the other movies he has done, yes.
Yeah.
Very good movies, yeah. I was thinking of the Twin Peaks movies.
Oh, those,
you
yeah.
You don't want to go see. confusing, pointless, and I think you could describe that of the end of Twin Peaks, too, series. You know, he had planned to do a follow-up Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He was
season
going
three.
Yeah, I think on Showtime. Mm. I think he was going to do it there. Yeah. And it's funny too because not so much funny that he passed away, but he passed away, and then we heard a promo from Pete Schwabe in regards to Twin Peaks coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, it's scheduled to come out right away. So
the Elephant Man, Blue Velvet. Let's see. What was the other one?
Yeah, Blue Velvet was...
Eraserhead?
A psycho movie. Yeah. And the thing about that movie is it brought back this horrible, horrible song, Blue Velvet, from Bobby Vinton, I believe.
Oh, right. Yes.
And,
oh, my God.
And I hated Bobby Vinton more than anything.
Boy.
Every time he came on Top 40 radio, I just, you know...
You and me both, brother.
Man.
My sister was in love. My older sister loved Bobby Vint.
Oh my God!
Play that crap all the time.
I
oh
know.
My God!
Every time it came on, I thought, why are they playing this guy?
I don't know.
He doesn't belong.
Horrible.
You know, they played Andy Williams, all this other stuff. That was, you know, I was okay with that. But you know, when Bobby Vint, God,
it's terrible.
Just could not handle. Okay. But Blue Velvet worked in the movie, and then I liked the song after I saw it in the movie, even though I hated the movie.
There you go.
All right. So there you go, a little bio, and I'm sure everybody was interested in that. Hey, let's get to, you know, we were talking about a little bit later on this hour, we're going to talk about Canada and Denmark, going to war with them, and you mentioned a movie that you couldn't think the name of, and we've got to thank John in Madison for filling us in.
The Mouse That Roared.
The Mouse That Roared.
It's the name of the movie with Peter Sellers, where this little tiny country takes on the United States, goes to war with the United States, just because they figure if they lose the war, then their economy will be propped up again.
Life mimicking war. Okay, now let's
Bob
go.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah, let's go to Bob Uecker. Passed away at the age of 90, almost 91.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been 91 later this month.
First up, we have this ABC News report from David Muir.
All right.
This is, here we go.
Finally tonight here, celebrating Mr. Baseball. They called him Mr. Baseball. Bob Uecker, a backup catcher turned comedian turned Hall of Fame broadcaster turned legend.
And this place is going bonkers.
Born and raised in Milwaukee, he reached the majors with his hometown team, the then Milwaukee Braves, in 1962. But he would become better known after playing baseball, a frequent on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
It was Carson who first called him Mr. Baseball.
Now this picture must be obviously of an exciting moment.
Yes, this is on a day when the ball club found out that I wasn't playing.
His sense of humor, his self-deprecating style, earning him fame and affection.
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
This ad campaign for Miller Lite in the 80s.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried.
In 89, starring in the film Major League, he was Harry Doyle. Bob Uecker would always return home to Milwaukee, giving the play-by-play for the Brewers for 54 seasons.
Here it is. Swing and a drive.
With that signature catchphrase.
Way back. Get up. Get up. Get out of here and gone.
Tonight, the Milwaukee Brewers, the team he loves so much, announcing Uecker's passing after a battle with small cell lung cancer. Tonight, Bob Uecker, in his own words.
Of all the things that I've done, this has always been number one, baseball. I could never wait for everything to get over to get back to baseball. No matter what else I ever did, baseball was the only way I wanted to go.
Great stuff.
One of a kind.
I mean, hearing
hilarious.
His voice calling the plays, no one could do that. I mean, he was truly the voice of baseball. And, you know, I'm not a sports fan in any way, shape, or form. You know, I like the Packers a lot, but baseball was okay. But, you know, Uecker was just unbelievable and truly a great personality calling the plays.
The fans loved him, but the players also loved him. You know, he'd go down to the locker room every game, the home at Miller Park, and he had his own locker down there still.
I wonder, you know, what was it like, you know?
Yeah.
Was he like a stand-up comedian in the locker room?
He had a lot of fun. He had a lot of fun.
Well, you know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and during his speech, this is how he started off, and it's very Wisconsin. I just love this. Listen to Bob Uecker at the Hall of Fame.
I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Actually, I was born in Illinois. My mother and father were on an oleomargarine run to Chicago back in 1934 because we couldn't get colored margarine in Wisconsin. On the way home, my mother was with child, me, and the pain started, and my dad pulled off into an exit area, and that's where the event took place. I remember it was a nativity-type setting. An exit light shining down. There were three truck drivers there. One guy was carrying butter. One guy had Frankfurters, and the other guy was a retired baseball scout who told my folks that I probably had a chance to play somewhere down the line. I remember it being very cold. It was January. I didn't weigh very much. I think the birth certificate says something like 10 ounces. I was very small. And I remember the coldness on my back from the asphalt. And I was immediately wrapped in swaddling clothes and put in the back of a 37 Chevy without a heater. And that was the start of this Cinderella story that you're hearing today.
Yeah.
I did not have a lot of ability as a kid. My dad wanted me to have everything that everybody else had. I think the first thing that he ever bought me was a football. And I was very young, and he didn't know a lot about it. He came from the old country. And, we tried to pass it and throw it and kick it, and we couldn't do it, and it was very discouraging for him and for me. And we almost quit. And finally, we had a nice enough neighbor came over and put some air in it. And what a difference.
Oh, my God. It is great stuff,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a long speech, but it was entertaining just like that all the way through. So it was hard to find a good spot to just cut it off. But that is Bob Uecker.
He was so dry in his delivery of all these.
He never laughed.
No.
Even on Carson.
Especially on Carson.
Was just super serious.
Yeah, Johnny loved
Carson. Was just throwing barbs at him all the time, you know, making baseball jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob would just sit there straight-faced.
Yeah.
Now, he did an ad, beer ad, and let's check that out. That's our next cut here.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my light beer from Miller.
Down at the clock!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Come on.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Good seats, hey, buddy? He missed the tag! He missed the tag!
Yeah, in the ad, he's in the nosebleed section.
Yeah, way up top.
Yeah, way up there. They really have a lot of respect for him.
They have a plaque there, right?
They have a statue of him.
Yeah,
I think I posted it on the Facebook site. Actually, I tried to do that. I think I might have succeeded. My wife and I are up in the stands with his statuette sitting up there, and it's great stuff.
Very cool.
Okay, now, I picked a clip out of the last interview that he did.
Okay.
It was very recent. And I got to tell you a little story on this. When I was in broadcast school, I did...
Keep it quick because we're a little short on time, but we'll get to it, though.
But I had to interview a celebrity for broadcast school, and I picked Merle Harmon, which was Bob Uecker's partner in calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the original one, and Bob Uecker finally took over. But Merle Harmon had stores and all that kind of stuff, so that was my very first celebrity interview. So let's go, let's play a little bit more of Bob Uecker's last interview.
How did the opportunity present itself to call games?
When I got released as a player, they told me I was going to work with Merle Harmon and a guy named Tom Collins. I'm doing the fifth inning. They let me do play-by-play, and they had made it up between the two of them that they were going to get up and leave me. When I listened to that old tape, it sounds like the Chipmunks.
He stays! The Brewers lead 4-3!
We'll be looking for you out here, folks. But I took over the broadcast as the lead guy, and I'm still here.
Bouncer, double play ball.
You know, I've been here 54 years I've been doing this. Just the fact that, you know, I've been able to do it, that's the one thing. I haven't done anything where I've overstepped my boundaries by any means.
Why keep doing it?
Tom, I don't have anything else to do, for one thing. That's the other thing. My stimulus check stopped, so I don't get those anymore. I need to make some payments. And this gas thing is killing me. I mean,
Cubs. Would you welcome Bob Uecker?
All right, maybe I wasn't the greatest player of all time, but fans, they forgive and forget.
Bob, you then began this incredibly prolific career outside of baseball in entertainment. Mr. Baseball, what is the origin of that title?
Well, that came from a Tonight Show one night. You know, they said I did 100 Tonight Shows. I don't know if I did or not. That's what they said. I did it because I got along so good with Johnny. I was actually scared to death, really. But the show went good. And as we're saying goodnight, I hear Johnny say to Ed McMahon, you know, they shake hands with you and then you walk off. And I hear Johnny say to Ed, did that guy really play baseball? And Ed said, I think so.
Major League.
Post-game show is brought to you by...
You know, I knew it was going to be good.
Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
It was automatic, Tom, for me. I mean, honest.
And rookie sensation, Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
When they told me to do whatever I wanted, that's got to be just a bit outside. You know, I got to get on the umpire some way.
Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Probably myself. You know, the ones that leave, I leave them in there just, you know, for proof.
The best commercial is Bob Uecker for the front row.
How often, Bob, does somebody shout that to you?
Always.
You know, how do you respond?
I've been in the front row. I've been in the front row my whole life, man. I mean, when it comes to this.
You were a catcher.
Yes, I was. Chaser.
Long one to right. The Brewers have won the American League pennant.
90 years old.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
I feel 90. You know, I'm starting to become the senior citizen around here. But to come here every day, go in the clubhouse, and be around those guys every day, they treat me like I'm still one of the players.
Now the stretch. Coming back 2-2. Outside, he missed.
It's great stuff, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Final interview and just a fantastic guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We got a little bit more we're going to get to, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Got him at Wrigley.
Yeah, he's singing the song.
Singing the national anthem.
But he changed it a little bit, so we'll listen to that in just a few moments.
Coming back with more of John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Seven WMDX. You know, when you play this, I want you to play the whole damn song.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we can't do that, John.
I just love this thing.
I know, it's great.
Eliota Haynes and Jeremiah. Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive.
All right, we're talking with Tim Slecker from Broken Pencils and just kidding.
Busted Pencils.
I'm just
John.
Kidding.
You These always guys, get that see, wrong.
Yeah, Sam always just, loves it when I do get that wrong.
Just testing you.
Yeah.
This portion of John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a Verlo mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or at verlo.com.
This is where being leaded is still good.
We celebrate lead.
Yes. Okay. Well, we used to celebrate mercury in our classes back in the 50s. So we moved on.
That's awesome stuff to play with.
It yeah. was. I thought it was. We lost an awful lot of it on the floor. But I was talking about, you know, drawing comics. At the time, I was doing superhero comics in eighth grade, and I decided to do a illustrated version of Great Expectations, which would have been a long comic
and a long
assignment.
You're still working on
yeah,
it,
I'm
right?
Yeah, actually, I haven't finished it yet. But the English teacher was just fantastic at accepting that, interpretation of, instead of doing a theme or interpretation of what we thought about the novel, I could do pictures of it. And and that really, I have to say, it encouraged me a lot in the English class as well. And, you know, I got better as a student, and I had a tremendous amount of respect for the teacher for letting me do that.
Yeah, I had, took a journalism class in high school, and we put out the, you know, the weekly newspaper, and the journalism teacher was just great. It's like, well, what do you want to write about? And, well, I thought I'd write about music. And he goes, well, why don't you do like a weekly review of albums or something? And I thought, I can do that?
Wait,
really? So listen to music and then talk about what I think about it? It was It was a moment for me that I remember.
And then he came up with a bubble test for you.
Look, you cannot, listening to The Dark Side of the Moon is not going to count anymore, okay?
Yeah. Right.
My goodness, you know, you're going to, who knows what will happen if you continue down that pathway.
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't that what Gardner's really talking about then?
Yeah.
Is, going for each individual's strengths and intelligence and then focusing on that.
And the question, too, about, well, then doesn't that make the teacher's job hard? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, guess what? There are lots of people who have multiple intelligences. And I'm going to, you know, I see there's a caller, but I'm going to put this out there and go, hey, guess what? Maybe AI might have something to do about helping us. Just planting that out there.
Well, okay. I know that we were going to talk about that AI, actually a camera on you and AI interpreting your look and your interest level. I thought that was really, that is a good application of AI, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, let's take this caller.
Let's go to the phones.
It's Catherine. I believe we know who Catherine is.
Good morning.
Well, I'm just thrilled that you're having this conversation, as always, with Tim Flecker. And it's right in my wheelhouse, Tim. You know, what schools, educators are doing is not creating workers. They're creating people, citizens, and helping them, ideally, in the best schools, become the best they can be. I graduated from my high school with high honors, and that was not my chemistry grades, I can tell you that. It was because they offered multiple kinds of musical outlets. I was a musician, clearly. My mother was a professional musician. My sister became a professional musician, having gone through that same school. They had multiple choruses, bands, and an orchestra, full instrument orchestra. And so I got H's, honors, in all my music classes. I was a pretty good writer, so I got into AP English or whatever. But I'm telling you, science and math was not my thing, but I still got a degree with high honors from high school that got me into a college for music, because that's what my emphasis was. And they saw that. And teachers like Tim get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome, Catherine. Thanks for pointing that out. You know, and people can say this. My guess is Catherine went to school before we found the holy grail of the bubble test. You know, but thinking about that, you know, that's a great example. And I think everybody listening out there can go, Oh, yeah, I was really good at. And there's probably a time where some of those were able to be seen, but then come back to now and saying, well, geez, if Howard Gardner's pointing out multiple intelligence, spatial intelligence, emotional intelligence, athletic intelligence, you know, scientific, how the heck is a teacher going to deal with all of those intelligences out there? Because that becomes, and yeah, that's a challenging job, but I would say it's our job as teachers to find those unique gifts in all kids and really allow them to excel, like Catherine was saying. But now, actually, we actually have some really amazing tools. And I would tell people, start looking at artificial intelligence as an agent that would help you. So as a great teacher, my ability now to sit down with AI in the evening before I'm ready to go to school the next day, say, I've got three students who are awesome at art. I've got three students who seem to have this mechanical inclination. I have some students who are really having a tough time reading. I'm now going to teach Great Expectations. Help me put together a lesson plan, and boom, AI puts out a lesson plan and says, hey, for these kids, try this. For these kids, try this.
That's beautiful. That's going to be a big help.
Great thing.
Yeah.
Dr. Tim Slecker, thanks for joining us. You can listen to Busted Pencils, new podcast Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Saturday afternoon live on the Civic Media at 3 o'clock.
Fun to listen to.
Yep.
All right,
Thank
Tim.
You. And Tim, Thank we're you. Coming back and talk about President Biden's farewell speech to the nation.
A big moment about oligarchy.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.